tune out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system at radio.com.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Thursday, the 22nd of January, 2026, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, today it's Thursday, which means we will be talking about geopolitics today, and who better to talk about geopolitics than Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson from russjournal.org. Matt, good day, sir. How are you doing?
Well, apart from a slight heart problem, I'm doing okay. And to answer your question, there's very few people who are better on this kind of thing to talk about than me. But this topic is fascinating me. But again, I have no claims to expertise on Greenland or anything about it.
Well, I don't claim to be an expert on it, but I do recall doing a podcast many moons ago with Nat Dainlaw, and he was talking about Greenland being this colony of Denmark, and it had this really, really awful child abuse and alcohol problem. And this isn't actually in our notes for today, but you can find this if you just type Greenland child abuse into a search engine and see what comes up. This is what comes up in mind. Child sexual abuse in Greenland is a severe and widespread public health crisis with alarming prevalence rates and deep-rooted societal consequences. Studies indicate that up to 50% of youth in Greenland, aged 15 to 34, have experienced sexual abuse before age 18, and around 26% of all children are estimated to have been exposed to sexual abuse before turning 18. So half of them have been sexually abused, and a quarter and half of what's left watched the sexual abuse. In the remote community of Tasiilaq, a quarter of all police reports of child sexual abuse in Greenland come from a population of just 2,800. The abuse is often perpetrated by family members or close acquaintances and occurs in private homes during sleepovers or social gatherings, with many victims as young as 1 year old. The crisis is linked to alcohol abuse, unemployment, which is 25% in Tasiilaq, cultural dislocation and geographical isolation, which makes it difficult for victims to escape their abusers. Suicide rates in Greenland are among the highest in the world, with one in five deaths in Tasiilaq attributed to suicide, and the national rate more than double that of any independent nation. Now, bearing that in mind, and they've been colonized by Denmark, they've been looked after by Denmark for the last 150 years, something like that. Would it not be a good idea for America to actually take over the place and give them something to do? They've got nothing to do there apart from abuse one another and drink alcohol. And if America was to go there, it would obviously set up things for the Americans that are there to keep themselves entertained. And I think it would give jobs to these Greenlanders, and it would give them some other things to do. So I am actually quite supportive of this idea, just thinking of how it's actually going to benefit the people from Greenland. But of course, that's not what Donald Trump's idea is. I don't think he wants to go into Greenland because he wants to help the Greenlanders in any way or prevent the child abuse. But I think that might be a secondary thing that happens if America does go in there and take over. Do you just want to make some comments on that, Matt, before I get into these notes here?
Well, remember, you know, in Trump's first term, he just rounded up child abusers all over the place, especially, you know, wealthy ones, especially university professors. I seem to remember the University of Minnesota being very bad that way. Yes, but it is a secondary one, but it's certainly not unimportant. I was reading a bit about law enforcement there, and there's only certain things they can do. It's all Danes. very, very few natives, and there's only certain places that they can get to. So I don't know if that has any relevance at all, but you know, there's also the conception that alcohol is tightly connected to child sex abuse among natives, among the Inuit.
And the Danes pay them 600 million euros a year, basically, for Greenland. And I'm sure that America could offer more than that, say $1 billion a year. And that basically goes to help these Inuit, basically welfare, so that they've got something that they can, so that they can live on. So surely if they were going to be on twice as much money as they were before, and they were going to have jobs, and they were going to have entertainment, I think it's rather silly of them to turn America down. But getting into the notes that we have here, this isn't something that's only just started to be talked about. The first article we have here comes from the American Thinker, and it was actually back in 2019 that this was written. When the Wall Street Journal broke the story late last week that President Trump was interested in the concept of the United States purchasing Greenland, the immediate negative response from Danish officials and media was utterly predictable, since the story came as a bolt out of the blue. Nobody likes to learn of secret plans over their own nation's fate being mulled by the most powerful country in the world. Denmark, after all, was invaded and occupied by the Nazis and has had its fill of being abused by more powerful nations. I suspect that the story was leaked precisely to engender negative reactions from the Danes and from our own media. If the idea had been allowed to percolate in private, then it is possible that discussions could have been advanced in a manner sensitive to Danish concerns, rather than coming as a media shock. After all, about a century ago, the United States carried out a similar purchase of colonial territory from Denmark, when the Danish West Indies became the US Virgin Islands, following a $25 million transfer from the US Treasury to the government of Denmark. And I think we'll just stop there. So it's not like this doesn't have precedent. I mean, America has done this before. They purchased the Virgin Islands from Denmark for a certain amount of money. So what's the problem with them purchasing Greenland from Denmark now? Matt, do you want to make any comments on this?
Yeah, from that point of view, there isn't. And this is not the first time that a president or the U.S. government has brought it up. It was brought up after World War II. A place of resettlement of German refugees, believe it or not. It was brought up in the 70s. So this is absolutely this is nothing new. This should not be a shock to them. And it would relieve them of this subsidy. And I don't know, you know, because technically now Greenland is a province, like an American state. Only since 1979 has that been the case. It is dysfunctional. We all know that. But it seems like it would solve a huge problem for that government. Because I don't care, you know, I don't care about how much money the Danes send them. Nothing seems to get done. No, in minimal economic life. And So yeah, I guess from that strict point of view, yeah, there's no problem with it.
Well, it means that the Inuit would also be earning money from whatever resource extraction went on there. At the moment, there's no resource extraction. And again, that's because of the Danes. Once the Danes get over the shock, they may wish to consider their relationship with Greenland in another light, one that takes into consideration their role as colonial masters to an impoverished people who have been unable to develop sources of wealth that could lift them out of misery. As the Wall Street Journal notes, Greenland is an expensive burden for the Danes, costing $591 million annually in subsidies. In proportion to the population, that is the equivalent to a burden in US taxpayers of over $33 billion a year. I suppose pride is part of what keeps the money flowing, but when that pride is recast as neo-colonialism, perhaps the expense becomes a burden to the national psyche as well as to the royal fisc. On the other hand, Leonard Bashitsky, writing in Bloomberg, sees the Greenlanders as unlikely to want any liberation from their colonial masters, and the Danes unlikely to want to be relieved of the burden. And he says, Greenland, of course, won't be sold to the US. On the one hand, Denmark has no reason to sell it. It is a wealthy country that runs a budget surplus. It can easily afford the annual subsidy of about $500 million that it pays to Greenland. And it sees itself as the island's sensible steward rather than the unwilling owner of a vast, largely uninhabited territory. Besides, the 56,000 Greenlanders likely wouldn't want to switch their allegiance to the US. The island's Home Rule Act, approved by the Danish Parliament, gives its autonomous government fundamental rights in respect of Greenland's natural resources. Many locals hope control over these resources eventually will form the basis of Greenland's independence, and they have no problem waiting for that opportunity under Denmark's benevolent rule. They would be unlikely to give up their current security and the prospect of independence in exchange for US passports. Alaska, with its recent crippling budget cuts, can hardly serve as an attractive example to another sparsely populated northern territory cut off from the continental US. But the thing is, apparently, there are lots of rare earth minerals there in Greenland, and this is part of the reason why Trump wants to go in there, so that he can secure access to those resources for American companies so that they can then refine them. At the moment, something like 90% of it is being carried out by China, and it means you've got a bottleneck there. And also, I think he's concerned that the Greenlanders might sell off their resources to the Chinese. So there's a good reason, I think, for America taking this place. But again, you know, it might be that the Greenlanders don't actually want that. I mean, what do you make of what Bloomberg have to say here, Matt?
Well, the last I checked, about 20% of Greenlanders were interested in becoming a part of the U.S. and no more. And in the U.S., it's very unpopular as well. Just because, you know, so they say, well, we need the investment here, not over there. Now, what I do not know is the Inuit tribe, are they the same group over there that they are in Alaska and in Western Canada? I'm not 100% sure. They have the same name. And when it comes to developing, you know, public policy or opinion, is it really the handful of Dutch that are there, or is it the Inuits that are providing this? That's a whole separate issue. There's only two Inuit representatives in the Dutch parliament, Danish parliament. Denmark does have a budget surplus, does have a high debt though. And yet really nothing has been done. But remember, these are just hypothetical. There's a theory that there may be many minerals under there. Denmark has not permitted a whole lot of exploration, which, again, goes to your point as to why there's really nothing to do, especially when the place is in darkness half of the year. A lot of people want to be very lazy and say, oh, it's just because it's in darkness half the year. People, you know, suicide is just so high there. The suicide rate is extremely high there. I think it's, you know, the first or second in the world, depending on what list you're looking at. I just don't see what benefit it has to Denmark to keep it.
I think it's just so that they can say that we have this other colony. I mean, it's quite a small country, Denmark. Obviously, it's a feather in its cap to say that, oh, we also have this giant island as well of Greenland. I think that's the sort of prestige that it gives them more than anything else. Getting back to this article here from 2019. No matter how the idea develops, I hope we can recover our slightly scuffed friendly relationship with Denmark. I love the Danes and their country. I spent a happy month there long ago and appreciate their culture, especially the sense of irony that pervades their humour. They have more and better restaurants than their Scandinavian neighbours, and have been by far the most realistic about dealing with the wave of Muslim immigrants, in part because their sense of irony gives them better perspective on political correctness than the Norwegians and Swedes, for whom posturing as virtuous seems a national obsession. I have to say, I like the Danes as well. I do like their sense of humour, so it's good to see that somebody else has noticed the Danish sense of humour and likes it as well. You got any comments that you want to make on this, Matt?
Well, I have to plead ignorance about that. I don't, you know, I've met a handful in my life. And although there's one thing that they are better on the wave of Muslim immigrants, that's true. But I think we'll see as we go on exactly what the real issues are in terms of economy and in terms of even geopolitics, especially as it concerns, again, the center of the world, Russia, and the number one economic power in the world, China. And that's really the central issue here, apart from the hypothetical rare earth minerals that may be under Greenland.
Well, from 2019, again, we have an argument in favor of annexation from Breitbart. The great landmass is ripe for development, so it's no wonder that Trump, the real estate man, wants to take a crack at developing it on behalf of the nation, if not for himself. Indeed, wits were quick to riff on what a Trumpified Greenland would look like. Needless to say, the Wall Street Journal's report sparked a wide variety of reactions. The Danish government immediately said no, while one New York City tabloid laughed, even as other organs of the mainstream media heaped on their own ridicule. In response, Trump kept the door open, telling reporters on August 18th, "Strategically, it's interesting and we would be interested, but we'll talk to them a little bit. It's not number one on the burner." Representative Mike Gallagher tweeted on August the 15th, "This is a smart geopolitical move. The United States has a compelling strategic interest in Greenland, and this should absolutely be on the table." Indeed, America's strategic interest in Greenland has long been recognized. As Foreign Policy magazine noted, the US has tried twice to buy Greenland, once after the Civil War and again after World War II. During World War II, Uncle Sam used Greenland for military basing and supply. To this day, there's a major Air Force base at Thule, less than 1,000 miles from the North Pole. In its history, the US has bought plenty of land, including the Louisiana Territory from the French in 1803 and Alaska from the Russians in 1867. In each case, the pittance Uncle Sam spent was repaid 1,000-fold, not just because of the natural resources involved, nor just because expansive land helped Americans spread out and own their own property, but also because by taking possession of that territory, we kept a hostile power from possessing it. So now Greenland is a possible new frontier. The Danes have controlled it for centuries, and frankly, they haven't done much with it. One reason, of course, is that it is frigid and indeed mostly covered in glacier ice. And yet with the right mindset, inclement weather is only an obstacle, not a roadblock. As plucky Americans have proven in Alaska and elsewhere, we are perfectly capable of dealing with harsh weather. After all, ice cold and isolation are irresistible to hardy vacationers and those who simply wish to really get away from it all. Moreover, if profit beckons, miners and drillers can always punch their way through. And how much profit is to be had? The truth is, we really don't know how much natural wealth is to be found in Greenland because nobody has ever seriously looked. So why haven't they looked? It's because the Danes have chosen to treat the territory, for the most part, like a giant nature preserve. And that's why the native population of Greenland mostly lives in relative poverty, as poor dependents of their masters in Copenhagen. Yes, it is an odd kind of neocolonialism there in the North Atlantic, as the politically correct Danes pat themselves on the back for their enlightened eco-consciousness, even as the Greenlanders stay poor. Yet even from afar, we know that Greenland offers a fantastic development opportunity. If the Danes are too green and politically correct to extract that wealth, perhaps the US can blaze a rich new trail. So obviously he thinks it's a good idea. They say that they don't know if there is rare earth minerals there, but I mean, what is the chances that they are rare earth minerals there, Matt? Is there anything to indicate that they would be, do you know?
I'm not 100% sure, to be honest. There's always been talk about oil. But I think regardless of what's found there, since the whole place is empty, you know, you can drill and you can look and you could smash through things without having to worry about, you know, environmental groups, because there's no one living there. You know, technically the U.S. is completely self-sufficient in energy. But with Greenland, it would be even more so. It would have a profit. That the Danes, yes, he's exactly right. And this is one of the things that stuck out to me, is that they treated it just as, you know, haven't done much with it except just that it exists, which means that they've done nothing except subsidize these poor people and all of the abusive issues and lack of schooling and everything else. And they're extremely isolated areas that you need a helicopter to get to. And of course, you know, the U.S. is not a stranger to that. It has that in Alaska, you know, isolated groups. So that's nothing, you know, that's nothing new. So, I mean, there's even a military thing. We'll talk about this in a minute here. There's a military aspect to this, but I think maybe Donald Trump has the idea that it would be easier because there's really no one, no human being affected by it. They can drill without the Sierra Club getting on their backs. But did this? I know it's a powerful lobby. You know, they've shut down how many oil pipelines in the U.S. and elsewhere. So this may have something to do with that as well.
I think there's always been like an understanding that nobody would go drilling in the Arctic. So I guess that must be changing, partly possibly because of climate warming up and they're being less ice there now. I mean, that's what you hear. You also hear reports that go against that. You know, that does appear to be playing into this. Something about the Northwest Passage as well, about that might be opening up because there's less ice now. So that's another reason for them to be going in there. Well, the next article that we have comes from 2026, and this comes from uns.com. The US government has got the Europeans in a spin over Trump's desire to annex Greenland. His press secretary, Caroline Leavitt, notably said that utilizing the US military is always an option at the commander-in-chief's disposal. But what do the Americans want? They want to deny Russia and China access to vast deposits of resources in Greenland. They want to gain privileged access for US firms to exploit those resources. They want to have a more explicit security foothold in the Arctic, which is largely dominated by Russia and Canada, although Trump seemingly wants to annex Canada too. Trump might be able to achieve these goals over the longer term through strategic patience rather than resorting to military force. But he has only 3 years remaining in office, and he would need to reach a deal with Denmark, which appears unlikely in the short term. Trump is clearly pushing the art of the deal, hoping to force Denmark into backing down and agreeing to some sort of sale of Greenland to the US. But any deal to allow US annexation of Greenland would amount to a modern-day version of the Munich Agreement that allowed Adolf Hitler to annex the Sudetenland. Trump's calculus, like Adolf Hitler's, would be that no major European power would be willing to fight to prevent a military aggression against Greenland, and would therefore settle to avoid that possibility. France and Britain would almost certainly not fight to prevent US occupation of Greenland. Britain this week allowed a major US military build-up in the UK ahead of the operation to interdict the Russian-flagged Marinera oil tanker. European firms are so dependent on the US as an export market that they would fear a collapse of the transatlantic economic relationship, perhaps more than Trump does, who wants US firms to be more self-sufficient. Well, he has actually announced, I mean, what he did was he put tariffs, and he said there's going to be these big tariffs on Britain and the EU and on everybody who doesn't want me to take Greenland. And they had special meetings, and they hurried up to have these special meetings that they've had over the last couple of days. And just at Davos, at the World Economic Forum today, he's announced that he's not going to do these tariffs, and he's walked back a little bit on that. And I think what he was doing was saying, look, you know, I have the strength to do this. I can just put tariffs on you. I can just use the military. We need to have this place. and there's an easy way of doing it and there's a hard way of doing it. Surely you would want to do it the easy way. And I think now Europe and Britain, they've had a sort of taste of what could happen to them if they don't go along with it. So I think they might now be more willing to talk about this thing. I mean, Trump has said that they are now talking about it, but he didn't give us any more details on it than that. You laughed there, Matt, at this bit about Munich. What was the reference there? What were you laughing about there?
Oh, well, it was just, it's just, you know, a politically correct kind of thing to say. There was a separate reason why Germany had to take these areas. They were heavily Germanic anyway, but it's so overused and it's such a cliche. Every time I hear it, I smile. But still, I can't even imagine a battle between Denmark and the U.S. over this, I mean, militarily speaking. I don't know. I can't imagine it. They're not getting anything out of it. The Danes aren't. So I can't picture that. Certainly, it may do damage to NATO, which is a wonderful thing. You know, but I also think that this author overstates the power of the American market. First of all, the European Union is struggling in every way. And many of their firms are looking to the East as they should. The American market is so desperately in debt. It's roughly the same as the U.S. government. You know, it's something like $12 or $13 trillion in debt. It's only so much of a market that's there. And you know, and often you know, Trump's tariffs have worked. It sounds very chaotic, and it sounds very you know mafia like. But I don't know. There's a certain method to the madness. I'm still on the fence here whether or not this is a good thing or not. I remember a long time ago, the great Don Rosenberg, one of my first teachers, a Jew who converted to Orthodoxy, he said it would be a great idea to buy Greenland and dump our violent prisoners there. That was about the last time I spent more than 5 seconds thinking about Greenland.
You know, that might be a good idea. I mean, you could put your violent prisoners there, wouldn't it? They'd have to get on with each other, wouldn't they, to survive? I mean, it's hard to survive out there. Although I guess if they were to put a prison there, they would put all mod cons there and they'd heat it up and all the rest of it because they wouldn't want to be accused of setting up a gulag like they do in Siberia. Getting back to the article here. So what happens next? Denmark has made its position clear on Greenland, and it should be assumed that it can rely only on verbal support from European allies rather than commitments to help it defend Greenland. It must feel under immense pressure, therefore, to concede. Yet Denmark's biggest ally is US public opinion. In a poll last year, only 20% of Americans agreed with the idea of annexing Greenland. So for now, at least, the best posture Denmark could take is defiance and calling Trump's bluff. Trump's threat of military action to seize Greenland should be called out for what it is, a naked act of aggression. And Denmark should put its small military presence on Greenland on alert to defend the island against American forces. Clearly, Danish forces would be quickly overpowered in any military confrontation with America. But that would put the US in the position of having to justify to the American people firing upon friendly allied European troops in pretty chocolate box houses by clear waters. It is hard to measure the potential damage this would do to Trump's image in the US, let alone in the wider world. The big fly in the ointment is that under the terms of the 2009 Greenland Act of Self-Government, the people of Greenland nonetheless have the right to vote to secede from Denmark. The Americans are hoping that with pressure and offers of massive financial investment, the people of Greenland can be encouraged to secede from Denmark and align themselves with the US in some way. That wouldn't necessarily have to be as a part of the US, but under the terms of a so-called Compacts of Free Association that the US also has with small states in the Pacific, the Marshall Islands, Palau, and the Federated States of Micronesia. This offers economic benefits to the islands, including the right of citizens to work in the US, while giving the US authority over national defence. A military action by the US to claim the island may merely stoke fears in Greenland that it was to be recolonized again, as it was by Denmark before gaining self-autonomy in 1953, and this may prove counterproductive to US interests. So really, they need to go on a propaganda offensive, don't they? Making themselves look good to the Greenlanders. But I would have thought that offering them twice as much money as Denmark is offering them, if America says we'll give you $1 billion a year in welfare, which is pretty much twice as much as Denmark is offering them, you know, they would be silly not to go for it, I think. Plus all this investment that would go in there as well. Now, the other issue here is the military issue, Matt, which, you know, they haven't really talked that much about it here, but Trump says it is very, very important to them militarily that they have to have Greenland for themselves, because at the moment, if it was to get invaded by another power, they wouldn't necessarily defend it, is what he was saying, that if they actually own something, then they would definitely defend it. And what do you make of those statements there? And do you think that there is a... Do you think that Greenland is a threat from these other nations, or is it really that the worry is that they might sell these rights to these minerals to these other nations? I mean, what do you think of it, Matt, the military aspect?
The military aspect, you know, I wouldn't necessarily think that, well, first of all, the Denmark has sold off a lot of its equipment to Ukraine. Now, I think that's mostly its older equipment, but they don't have much to do battle with. Of course, the U.S. really doesn't either. I would not assume that the U.S. would win right away. I still can't picture it, though. That would completely destroy NATO. And I don't know. Propaganda campaign, that does make sense. Another Danish governor of Denmark has tried to engage on another propaganda campaign to not abuse your kids, which is, I don't want to say it's not funny, but it is funny because it's so obvious. That was a Sputnik article I saw. It's so bad that they have to, you know. But you know, it gets very complicated in terms of international law. But the U.S. doesn't care about international law. I don't care about international law. It's a matter of force. There is a military base there, Americans. There's a handful of people. It is not easy to fight in that part of the world. I would not immediately assume that Denmark would lose, especially if they're motivated. And the U.S. certainly wouldn't be motivated at all. So there's two issues here. There's the issue of economics. Maybe there's some stuff under the ground there that we could use, and then the military that will help create this dome that Donald Trump wants to create, just in case the Russians plan on invading us. You know, the typical Republican nonsense. So it's a weak argument either way. But I think the U.S. does offer a better deal than than Denmark does.
You know, I think Europe is against it just because it's Donald Trump that's come up with this idea, and it's sort of right out of the blue. It's not an issue to do with immigration. It's not an issue to do with political correctness, diversity, inclusion and equity and all these other issues that he talks about. It's something else. So it's sort of like it's just come right out of the blue. They weren't prepared for it. And because it's not something that they've sort of been slowly eased into, I think they're just against it straight away on principle that it's Donald Trump that's talking about this, and that it's, and also this idea of America buying somewhere. I mean, something like that hasn't happened for many years, that one country would buy another country. And of course, we know it went on 100 years ago, it went on quite a lot, but it hasn't been done very recently. So I think that's got more to do with it. I think possibly give it some time, and Denmark and also the Greenlanders, I think they might become more inclined towards this. I think it just needs a bit of time. But what's this dome that they were talking about there as well that Donald Trump wants to do. Is that got something to do with the Iron Dome in Israel? Same sort of thing?
Yeah, it's the same kind of thing to have an aspect of that on Greenland. I guess it's an island, so you say on Greenland. Although, again, American military materiel is very at a low point, too. The Israeli dome failed miserably, as we know. So I don't know if he's just talking to Republicans here. You know, a foreign policy magazine, as we mentioned before, which is just a Council of Foreign Relations, that's their journal. And they agree with something. You got to start to wonder. I don't know. I have to admit, I'm still on the fence here. Because if let's say that the Denmark said, okay, we're done. We're done. We don't pay these people anymore. And Donald Trump moved. Now the U.S. has a small number, but still a very dysfunctional group of people to deal with. You know, at the moment, unproductive. It would take several generations to create a workforce that could work any of the oil wells, whatever else they're going to do there, they think they're going to do there. And if that's even possible, if the U.S. really has that kind of cash to build it, you know, the U.S. is beyond broke. So there's a lot of issues to consider. And again, I don't know if public opinion there comes from the handful of Dutch or maybe a couple of Inuit elites, or the average Inuit has something to say about it. Something tells me it's the former, not the latter. But as of right now, yeah, they don't want to come under the Americans. I think it wasn't last year that the Dutch issued an apology for their colonial policies, you know, that led to certain sexual practices.
Denmark.
Which you know, again, I thought to be, you know, PC nonsense. Although I haven't found a whole lot of sources to defend them from some of their various experiments. So again, I'm going to end it here. I don't have the expertise. I'm on the fence about it, but it is an interesting topic, and I'm glad you brought it up.
I think the Danes policies can, you know, they can be explained. They were trying to help the Greenlanders. That's why they had this Danification, modernization, building them townships that they could live in, building them proper housing that they could live in, getting them all to live in one area together, teaching them how to read and write, all that sort of thing. They were trying to help them. So I don't really see that the Danish have got anything to apologize for there. And I guess if you're saying America doesn't have the money for this, well, I should imagine they're speculating that there is wealth under there. Perhaps they know more than we know about the fact that there's wealth under there. But you would think that Denmark would do well out of it, because they wouldn't have to pay out this $600 million a year. Plus, they would probably have the money that was paid for Greenland as well. And then the Greenlanders would do well out of it. I'm sure they would do a deal where they would get double the amount of money that they were getting from Denmark. Plus, they would then have the chance of this investment and jobs that they could do there. And even if they weren't capable of working on the oil wells, they would still be getting double the amount of money that they were before. And they would also, I'm sure, there would be like entertainment facilities that would be set up for the Americans that were working over there that they could make use of. I mean, it really does seem to me that, you know, Europeans and Britain, they've just said, oh, no, we don't want this. And I think it's just done out of this, well, it's something new, and people don't like new things. They like to just carry on as they are. They don't like change. And I think there's a certain amount of animus towards Donald Trump as well. But, yeah, I definitely think it would be a good idea. Any final comments you want to make before we finish, Matt?
Well, I think you make a good point, at least at the executive level, that they have such this, you know, media-driven contempt for Donald Trump that anything he says has got to be bad. But Donald Trump's time is running out. That's the thing. Maybe the Dutch, the Denmark is really considering the idea that there'll be a Democratic president in a couple of years, and we don't have to worry about this anymore.
When you say Donald Trump's time is running out, what's he going to do? Well, at the moment, he's setting up this Gaza peace plan, which apparently is going to be a rival to the United Nations. Perhaps we'll get to talk about that next week. Anyway, thank you very much for coming on today, Matt. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I'll be back tomorrow with Grandpa Dan. God bless and hail victory.
Yeah.